San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, April 28, 2024. Today's lesson is Taking It to the Streets with Dr. Constance Cook Kaur. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, the more we do everything together, the happier we'll be. Because there is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call this God, the living spirit almighty. One, indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And so it is. So this is 2024, and so far our annual theme of building conscious community has been working out just great. Our consciousness is rising, our community is experiencing more depth and more growth and more abundance and joy and love in their lives. And this month, April, is act as if. We want to act as if all the things we know about ourselves is true. Florence Scovel Shinn was a New Thought leader, and she wrote 4 books. Her most famous book is The Game of Life and How to Play It. I've known about her. But somehow in my mind, I never consciously connected that she was the author of The Game of Life and How to Play It. So now that I've made that connection in my mind, I'm going to have to get that book and read it. But she said something pretty awesome. She said, "Nothing is too wonderful to happen. Nothing is too good to be true." And we know that. And when we act as if we believe that, everything in our life unfolds for our greatest and highest good. This song that we had, The More We Get Together, that kids' song, when we are getting ourselves together, we are building community. We are increasing our happiness, our oneness, and our wholeness. And what does that sound like? Does that kind of sound like expressing the qualities of God? Well, yeah. Because it is. It is. It absolutely is. I have a question I want to ask everybody early on in my talk. If we don't like what we see on the streets, ask ourselves the question, what is mine to do? Keep in mind, not everyone is called to be a Mother Teresa. And remember that complaining is not a solution. It only gives more energy to any problem that we're thinking about. Think about what you're thinking about. Charles Fillmore and his wife Myrtle founded the Unity Movement, and it's very similar to Religious Science. Both Ernest Holmes and the Fillmores and many others studied under Emma Curtis Hopkins, who is known as the Teacher of Teachers. But Charles Fillmore said, "It is much easier to hold ourselves in the true consciousness when we are associated with those who think as we do." Well, duh. It's much easier to do the things we want to do when we're in a group of people that want to do the same thing. It's much easier to love when we are in a group of loving people. It's much easier to laugh when we are in a group of happy people. There's a collective energy that prevails when a group of like-minded people gather together. And it is just so much easier to accomplish our dreams, our goals, and our desires when we're working as a team that's going in the same direction. There is a story about migrating geese. When you look up in the sky and you see migrating geese, you see that they're in a V shape. There's one goose at the front, and then there's two, and then behind those two, there's two more, there's two. And so you've got this shape of a V. They do that to break the wind for the goose behind them. So the front goose is not always the front goose. They rotate. And so the front goose changes out to go to the back and rest, while a new goose who is rested leads the group. And they do this over and over and over again, which is why if you sit and watch that V, you can see it fly across the whole sky and just keep on going and going and going and going on its migration. It never seems to stop, and it seems to be going at a steady speed. It's not like when you watch one bird in your yard and it's flitting around here and there, and then it sits for a while, and then it's flitting around someplace else, and then it sits for a while. This is the power of community, the power of working as a team. William Shakespeare said, "All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances." You and I are merely actors, playing our parts the best we can. And one thing to remember is that everyone is playing their part perfectly. You and I don't have to understand what their part is, especially if we're standing on the outside and we're watching somebody going, "Goodness gracious, what on earth are they doing?" Well, what on earth they are doing is playing their part perfectly. It's not my job to understand everybody else's part. It is my job to believe that they are serving their highest and greatest good. And if I see someone and I think they are not working in their own greatest and highest good, then it's my job to step back and look at my consciousness and know within me that whatever they are doing, whatever is guiding them, that it is all divine. Everyone has their own path. Everyone is playing their part perfectly. And therefore, whatever they are doing is working toward their overall greatest and highest good. It's kind of like the Four Agreements when we say always do your best, remembering that your best changes from moment to moment. Right now, if somebody were to be running a marathon, we would hope that their breathing was easy. If their breathing wasn't easy, we would hope that they would take care of their breathing instead of try and run 26 miles and fall down after two. So yes, everyone is playing their parts perfectly at all times. You came into this world with an opportunity to express your greatness and your divinity in any way you choose. And when you exit this earth plane, you shall leave this world a better place by means of who you are, rather than what you've done. Who you are speaks much more loudly than anything you can say. We look at people and we say, ah, I sense that they are good people. I can sense that by the energy that they put out. I can sense it by words that they write that are in congruence with how they act. When we walk our talk, we sense that. We see that just because we say something doesn't mean we believe it. But if we truly believe it, then we say it and we do it because we are it. When you act as if, you become. Now, the San Diego Center for Spiritual Living is an interfaith community, and we honor the many paths leading to wholeness, to love, and to light. We honor and we respect all faiths and all religions, regardless of their dogma or their creed. And it's very important to remember that in today's world. When we talk about taking it to the streets, we take it to the streets peacefully and with integrity. Too often lately, there are groups of people that are taking their message into the streets that are instigating things, and they're instigating violence. They're promoting hatred among cultures and religions. So when I say taking it to the streets, I truly mean peacefully. We can share our spiritual way of life with others, and we can inspire them to create a life of their own divine purpose. Currently, there are riots on campuses, and the riots are rooted in intolerance. Actually, I think, you know, most riots and violence are rooted in intolerance of one thing or another. But this particular intolerance is of one religious group for another. And it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart because we teach that all the paths lead to the same place, to the same divinity, to the same spirit. We are one. We are one. And here are these people saying horrible things about each other and getting violent. And it's just not okay with me. And so I will remain a center of peace, particularly when I go out in public. That's all we can do. That and pray and know the truth. Things that we do on the street are reflections of who we are. Our icon for today is just a nice little black box. And it says, show me, don't tell me. Show me, don't tell me. So show me how we are acting when we are out in the street. When we are taking it to the streets, what we're doing is we're doing outreach. We are a living example of our teaching. When I was at one of the essential oil meetings, the subject of marketing came up. And the group leader said, you are your advertising. If you are saying that these oils have healed you and you're running around sick, you're Your word is being lost. So if you want to market these oils, use them and be your own advertising campaign. I thought it was pretty powerful and pretty true. When we go back to the healing remedies that are provided naturally, I believe we are showing our faith and our trust in the oneness of all life. One of the things that New Thought started out with was healing. We teach and we heal. We heal and we teach. We heal with beliefs and words and what we call the truth. Healing is the revealing of the truth. And next month's theme is living in faith. So we're going to start out next week. My talk is the consciousness of healing. So, yeah, the consciousness of healing. What do we say about ourselves as a center? Well, I'll tell you what we say. And these are directly from our marketing. From Meetup, it says, our focus for 2024 is on building conscious community. Every second Sunday of the month, join us in a potluck lunch immediately following the inspirational message. What are we doing? We're feeding them with words and we're feeding them with food. And it says there's a power in the universe that has created the uniqueness of life in each of us. It is a power for good greater than we are, and we can use it. Does that sound like us? Yes, yes, that's us. And then in our email, January, I send out a monthly email. It says again, our focus for 2024 is building conscious community. And it goes a little deeper. It says, join us on a journey of self-discovery and building conscious community with a renewed energy of growth and purpose. It states right here, our intention is to make a positive impact throughout the city of San Diego as we participate in outreach programs and events that uplift, educate, and inspire humanity to its spiritual magnificence. I can live with that. Inspire humanity to its spiritual magnificence. You know, that's also the Centers for Spiritual Living mission and purpose, to inspire humanity to its spiritual magnificence. Can we do that here in San Diego? Yeah, yeah, we can. Ernest Holmes is the founder of the religious science movement and the author of the Science of Mind textbook. And he talks about each organization, each town, city, or nation has its own individual atmosphere. So we've got San Diego, right? Has its own individual atmosphere. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody in San Diego believes the same thing, but it means that there is a group of people in San Diego who all have their own views, their own perceptions, their own ideas, their own ways of being, and that all is thrown into the melting pot that we call San Diego. And it sort of balances it into, I don't know, mush, vegetable stew, something. It puts it all into this big melting pot. And in the melting pot, things come together. And when we're putting things into the melting pot, we can trust that nature is going to somehow blend everything that's in there, because every single piece in there is good for us in some way. It's like when Mom used to work on Saturday and Dad made lunch, and there was the pot, and everything went in the pot. I've mentioned that before. My thinking was, oh yeah, it's all getting mixed up in my stomach anyway. Big deal. My sisters, well, one of my sisters separated everything on her plate before she ate it. So this was not a good feeling for her. However, it didn't hurt her. So Ernest Holmes says on page 348 in the Science of Mind textbook, just as each person, place, or thing has a subjective atmosphere or remembrance, so each town, city, or nation has its individual atmosphere. Some towns are bustling with life and action, while others seem dead. Some are filled with the spirit of culture, while others are filled with the spirit of commerce. This is the result of the mentalities of those who live in such places. Makes sense to me. So what are we doing? What are we being to support our intention in our town, in our city? What are we doing or being that uplifts, educates, and inspires humanity to its spiritual magnificence? It's a good question. In my research for today's talk, I looked up what are ways for churches to do outreach? What are ways for us to build a conscious community? And there was one article that had five steps, five ways. And I thought, well, that's good. So I'm going to share these five ways with you. And you can see from your perspective if you think this is what we're doing or if this is an appropriate thing for us to be doing. The first one is meet people where they are. Meet people where they are. Build relationships with people. Demonstrate God's love, Spirit's action in our lives, before inviting somebody to attend. If you're standing in line at the movies, somebody walks up to you and says, hey, I'd like to invite you to my church, and gives you a business card, what are you going to do? Who is this stranger? Maybe even look at the card before you toss it. So we want to build relationships with people. We don't want to just shoot our little arrow into the middle of their group and walk away. Number two, become a third space. On the off hours, and we've done this before, when we were downtown, we weren't just there on Sundays. We were there a lot. And there were a lot of events going on. Classes, meetings, workshops, outside people coming in and using our space for their events. So become a third space. Don't confine ourselves to Sunday morning. And we're doing that now with our workshops. Number three, pray for our community. Well, yeah, that seems kind of obvious. Pray and know that our intention is being fulfilled. One of the ways that this particular group suggested a prayer for your community is to have a prayer walk, to get a group of people to go out and walk around in the community and evangelize. But we're not evangelists. We aren't out there to save people's souls. We are out there to be examples of what these spiritual teachings do in our lives. Number four, serve. What are we doing to make a difference in the community? What are we doing? Well, right now, we are helping larger groups. We are contributing to the San Diego Rescue Mission. We are lending our prayers and our support to various other organizations here in San Diego that have systems already in place for feeding people, for counting the homeless, for doing outreach. We are supporting other groups. And number five is invite. Invite people. Now, some people take it for granted that everybody's welcome at the church. There is, can't remember the name of it right now, but it's this whole philosophy about the gates within our lives and our alignment, our human personality characteristics. It's a good book. I'll look it up. I'll tell you what it's called later. But in it, it talks about how different people participate and how their energy focuses. I'm one of the people whose energy focuses one-to-one. I do a lot of one-to-one. So when I'm looking at you and talking to you, do you feel like you're the only person in the room? Yes. Right. And when I'm looking at you and talking, you feel like, yeah. Yeah. So that's one of the descriptions that this human stuff has. But it also says for my particular type, I need to be invited. So I may know consciously that I am welcome everywhere, but that doesn't mean I'm going to go. If you invite me, I'm more likely to go. I'm not the only person in the world like this. A lot of people see a lot of stuff going on around, and they've got choices, unlimited choices of where to go and what they could do. But if they have an invitation, then that event or that circumstance or that spiritual center comes forward from among the multitude of choices. So when we invite, we are saying, I care enough about you that I want you to benefit the way that I have benefited. And therefore, I am inviting you to come here and see if you think this is good for you. That's all the invitation is. It's not an invitation to come and, okay, now we've got you once, you're never leaving. No, no, because we are always at choice. If we don't like what we see on the streets, ask ourselves, what is mine to do? What is mine to do? I want to share a story with you. There was a wise old man, and in his spare time, he would go to the edge of his village and he would plant trees. And people would ask him, why are you planting trees? In this story, it's fig trees. Why are you planting fig trees? You're going to die before you can eat any of the fruit that they produce. And he said with a smile, I have spent so many happy hours sitting under fig trees and eating their fruit. Those trees were planted by others. Why shouldn't I make sure that others will experience the enjoyment that I have? One generation plants the trees. Another generation gets the shade and the fruit. We have the opportunity to plant these seeds. We get to be an example. All of us have the opportunity to reveal our greatness and claim our divine connection with a higher power that makes all things possible. Ernest Holmes said, "The highest faculty in man is intuition. And it comes to a point sometimes where, with no process of reasoning at all, he instantly knows." We just know something. People would ask me before when I worked, they would say, "Well, what do you do?" And I said, "They pay me to think. I think for a living," which was true. And many times, because of my particular brain structure, thought structure, my openness to receive, I would just know things. So I remember one time at work, somebody said, "Well, we're going to do this." I go, "Well, that won't work." "Well, no, it'll work." "No, that won't work." "How do you know?" "I just know." "You just know that won't work." My word was not good enough. I had to go do the research and come up with the facts that would support my argument, my inner knowing that that wouldn't work. It was easy because that solution never would have worked in our system. But I had to prove it to people who didn't have that inner knowing or that didn't trust my inner knowing. And in all honesty, in a technical field, I would not trust some engineer's inner knowing. I said, "You think it won't work? I think it'll work. So show me why it won't work and I'll show you why it will. And we will both come up with the same solution and it won't work." Because I was in error. We get to choose how we get involved. Reverend Jerry Troyer is here in San Diego. I think you all know him. You may know him. He was with Dr. Marilyn Hall's church, her independent church in Mission Valley, for years and years and years and years. And when she retired, he took over as senior minister and renamed it the Joyful Living Church. Because that's who he is. He's a great guy. Well, he is very active with an outreach group called Urban Street Angels. That's a local San Diego program to get homeless youth off the streets. Now, I've known Jerry, or we used to call them the Jerrys, for over 20 years. Because his partner who passed away was also Jerry. So it was Reverend Jerry and Jerry. So we call them the Jerrys. He is active in outreach to the community because this is his calling. He doesn't have his own church anymore, but he has his own ministry. So we all have our own ministry, whether we have our own church. In Can We Talk to God, Ernest Holmes says, "Nature lives in the lap of an intelligence and life, which without any apparent effort on its own part, provides both seed time and harvest. How can we doubt that the power back of things is adequate and is a unity? This power for good that is greater than us, it's greater than we are, it's in the universe, and we can use it. We can take it to the streets. It's already actually on the streets, but we can take our awareness of it out to the streets and share it. The Greek philosopher and student of Plato named Aristotle once said, "In the arena of human life, the honors and rewards fall to those who show their good qualities in action." The honors and rewards fall to those who show their good qualities in action. So let's act as if there is peace in the world, and know that peace will follow as sure as night follows day. So I thank you for your time and your attention. Namaste.